Thank you again. And for offertory prayer, God of wind and flame, set us on fire this morning as we celebrate the explosion of your Holy Spirit coming into the world on the day of Pentecost. Remind us that the gift you gave that day was not just the gift to speak in different tongues, but also the gift of hearing and comprehension. May your Holy Spirit keep us attuned to the voices all around us, to those who need us to be bearers of your love and compassion. And may these gifts we give help us through your church meet those needs. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's begin with the scripture today from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and the tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" I'm going to skip some of these names. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Certains and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now you may ask, what is Pentecost? Pentecost isn't like the holidays like Christmas and Easter that men created to commemorate an event in Jesus' life. Pentecost, held 50 days after Passover, it was also called the Festival of Weeks. It was one of three major annual festivals, a festival for the thanksgiving for the harvested crops. Jesus was crucified at Passover time, and he ascended 40 days after his resurrection. The Holy Spirit came 50 days after the resurrection, or 10 days after his ascension. Jews of many nations had gathered in Jerusalem for this festival. Thus, Peter's speech was given to an international audience, and it resulted in a worldwide harvest of new believers, the first converts to Christianity. My resource at Discipleship Ministries tries to make two stories about the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit. We've read in Acts chapter 2 the dramatic and joyous experience, but there's also John 20, when the disciples are locked up in their room in fear, and then suddenly Jesus stands among them. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." It's much more quiet and solemn experience. See, while my focus is going to be on Acts chapter 2, I see how this is where we are at CFUMC. It's Memorial Day weekend. We're taking time to remember our war dead, our members, including Chuck's funeral last week. Most importantly, our dear friends and family that we love so much and miss very deeply. In this sanctuary is our safe place. Our hearts mourn, like the disciples were at a loss in mourning Jesus. There's a time to mourn, but there's also a time to dance, as is stated in Ecclesiastes 3:4. Now I'm quoting from McLaren's expositions on Acts chapter 2. Only 10 days elapsed between the ascension and Pentecost. The attitude of the church during that time should be carefully noted. They obeyed implicitly Christ's command to wait for the power from on high. They were in prayer, supplication, patient waiting, clinging together in harmonious expectancy. It is also characterized that the 120 brethren, if we look carefully at Luke's words, we see that what filled the house was not agitated air or wind, but a sound as of wind. The language implies that there was no rush of atmosphere that lifted a hair on any cheek or blue on any face, but only a sound as made by a tempest. It suggested wind, but it was not wind. By the first symbolic preparation for the communication of the promised gift, the old symbolism, which lies in the very word spirit and had been brought anew to disciples' remembrance by Christ's words to Nicodemus, and by his breathing on them when he gave them an anticipatory and partial bestowment of the Spirit. It's brought to view with its associations of life-giving power and liberty. Thou hearest the sound thereof, could scarcely fail to be remembered by some in that chamber. But it's not supposed to be the audible sentible continued with the secondary preparatory one. It's addressed to the eye and appeared. As the former had not been wind, but like it, the latter was not fire, but as of fire. But the final result was that it sat on each. Clearly, the point of the symbol is the same as that presented in the Baptist promise of a baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire. The Spirit was to be in them as a spirit of burning, thawing natural coldness, melting hearts with a genial warmth, which should beget flaming enthusiasm, fervent love, burning zeal, and should work transformation into its own fiery substance. The rejoicing power, the quick energy, the consuming force, the simulating action of fire are all included in the symbol and should all be possessed by Christ's disciples. These two symbols are only symbols. The true fulfillment of the great promise follows. Mark the brief simplicity of the quiet words in which the great bestowment ever made on humanity, the beginning of an altogether new era, the equipping of the church for her age-long conflict is told. There was an actual impartation to men of a divine life to dwell in them and actuate them to bring all good to victory in them, to illuminate, sustain, direct, elevate, cleanse, and quicken. The gift was complete. They were filled. No doubt they had much more to receive, and they received it as their natures became, by faithful obedience to the indwelling Spirit, capable of more, but up to the measure of their then capabilities, they were filled, and since their spirits were expansible and the gift was infinite, they were in a position to grow steadily in possession of it till they were filled with all the fullness of God. Further, they were all filled, not only the apostles, but the whole 120 present with them. Peter's quotation from Joel distinctly implies the universality of the gift which the servants and handmaids, the brethren and women, now received. Herein is the true democracy of Christianity. There are still diversities of operations and degrees of possession, but all Christians have the Spirit. All they that believe on Him, and only they, have received it. Of old, the light shone only on the highest peaks, prophets and kings, psalmists. Now the lowest depths of the valleys are flooded with it. Would that Christians generally be believed more fully in and set more by the great gift? See, the sound of the rushing wind had been heard hurtling through the city in the early morning hours and had served as a guide to the spot. A curious crowd came hurrying to ascertain what the noise of the tempest in the calm meant. They were met by something more extraordinary still. Try to imagine the spectacle as would appear from the tongues of fire remained lambently glowing on each head. And the whole 120, thus strangely crowned, were pouring out rapturous praises, each in strange tongue, when the astonished ears had become accustomed to apparent tumult. Every man in the crowd heard someone or more speaking in his own tongue, language, or dialect. And all were declaring the mighty works of God. That is probably the story of the crucified and ascended Christ, Jesus. Pentecost is a prophecy of the universal proclamation of the gospel, of the universal praise which shall one day raise him that was slain. This company of brethren praising God in tongues of the whole would, of the whole world, represented the whole world which one day praises God in its various tongues. It prophesied of the time when men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation should lift up their voices to Him who has purchased them unto God with His blood. It began a communication of the Spirit to all believers. which is never to cease while the world stands. The mighty rushing sound has died into silence. The fiery tongues rest on no heads. Now the miraculous results of the Holy Spirit may have passed away, but the gift remains, and the Holy Spirit of God abides forever with the Church of Christ. If Clinton First is to be resilient in being ignited and united, we must openly receive the Holy Spirit and learn to use its gifts. Remember, we are to be full of joy. We are to glorify God. It's time for some good old-fashioned intentional faith development. Find those daily devotionals. Actually read your Holy Bible. Study intently in your Sunday school class. And if you're one that doesn't attend Sunday school, then maybe join the others that don't and form a small group that meets another time. The pruning has been done. It's time to make sure we're rooted in our faith, to go boldly with confidence, continue growing with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not done with this race until your last breath. Until then, let's show some resilience and unity at Clinton First United Methodist Church. That is fire. The new hit term for cool, groovy, hot is fire. We are fire. Amen. And for our benediction, so now we leave this space of worship, and while so much of the road ahead is uncertain, the pathway constantly changing, we know some things that are solid and sure as the ground beneath our feet and the sky above our heads. We know God is love. We know Christ's light endures. We know the Holy Spirit is there, found in the space between all things, closer to us than our next breath, binding us together with each other until we meet again. Go in peace.